Call a meeting of the Higher Education Policy and Finance Committee to order. We do have a quorum, and we'd like to have a motion to approve the minutes from February the 21st.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes.
Representative Pazderow moves the minutes from the 21st of February. Any discussion, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. First item on our agenda today is House File 1036. Representative Sanders. And I will move the bill for you, House File 1036, and recommend it to pass. Move on to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Sanders, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. Appreciate the opportunity to bring House File 1036 before you. Deals with management of our state fleet of passenger vehicles. We do exclude highway, heavy, and safety vehicles in this bill. So everyone knows we're looking at passenger motor vehicles and pickup or panel trucks up to 1 ton of carrying capacity. This bill's had a very long committee path up to this point. A lot of discussion around this stemming back to last session. There's been a lot of conversation back and forth. Surprisingly, we're still kind of waiting on numbers on what exactly does the state own. We still don't have concrete numbers on what the state owns, how it's managing its fleet. There is no centralized fleet management of the state. There is no one person or agency that kind of oversees all of it. And so we think that there's a lot of missed opportunities for efficiency and economies of scale and whatnot across the entire state, not just broken up into individual agencies. This bill has changed slightly in some of its forms. It's no longer a mandate as far as reduction, but what my intention is that we actually begin to actually manage our state fleet of vehicles. So with that, I believe we are here to discuss Minsky's relationship to the bill, and I understand that there is an amendment that the chair has for the bill.
At this time, I would move the A1 amendment, and essentially what that does eliminates Minsky from the motor pool section of Chapter 16B. And it might be appropriate at this time for Minsky to maybe come down and talk about how their fleet is managed and the impact of the bill and the amendment.
Thank you, Chair Norris and representatives. My name is Susan Anderson, and I am with the Minnesota State College Universities in the System Office. I am the Associate Director for Financial Planning Analysis and did quite a bit of research to prepare for our fiscal note on this topic. Currently, Minsky does not have a centralized fleet. Colleges and universities have the authority to manage their own fleets, but they must adhere to our system policies and procedures on travel management and risk management. Management at the local level allows us to be more efficient in right-sizing our fleet. Colleges and universities use a variety of methods to manage their fleet by owning, renting, and leasing. They use a combination of all three. These methods allow our colleges and universities to manage their fleet based on local needs. For example, Minnesota West Community and Technical Colleges have 5 campuses dispersed in southwest Minnesota. The number of vehicles for that college varies greatly from Minneapolis Community Technical College in the metro area that only has 1 campus. In addition, academic programs also impact fleet size for some of our colleges and universities. For example, Hibbing Community College and Hennepin Technical College both have law enforcement skills programs that require us to have vehicles for that program. And because of the nature of that program, we must own those vehicles as opposed to leasing them. In general, location, number of campuses, academic and student program mix all impact the fleets at our individual colleges and universities. Finally, some colleges and universities did find that owning vehicles are much more cost effective in the long term than leasing for several reasons. One, they are able to increase or reduce their fleet quickly if the need arises, because they're not like locked into a long-term lease agreement. In addition, some vehicles are kept in the fleet much longer. They may have high mileage and not able to travel long distances. However, they can be easily used on campus for maintenance crews, so they're repurposed, and we are able to stretch out the lifetime of that vehicle. When and if leasing or renting is more cost-effective, our colleges and universities are already doing so. And overall, our system has over 1,000 vehicles.
Any questions on the testimony dealing with the amendment? Thank you. I think
okay.
We need to, at this time, take a vote on the amendment, the A1 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Any further discussion on the bill itself? Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, do you have it in here and I'm looking for it, how many vehicles we have managed by the Department of Administration statewide compared to the Minnesota State College and Faculty and Minnesota State system?
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, one of the frustrations I've had in carrying this bill is I've not received any concrete information from any of the agencies, despite asking exactly how many vehicles they own, how many are in their individual fleets, including Department of Administration or MNSCU. You heard in their testimony today, again, and even in the fiscal note, they state they have over 1,000, but do not provide any, provide the actual numbers of vehicles that are in their system. So it's been one of the frustrations is really trying to lock down what does the state own across all of its agencies and its fleet.
Representative Rukavina.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, do you have any place in here where you're hiring more auto mechanics to take care of the cars that we're going to keep longer? And I like your idea, by the way, but if you don't put more miles on a car and that you're going to need to maintain it more. So do you anticipate there being a cost for that?
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, I guess I don't quite understand your question other than to say no, we don't provide additional costs for auto mechanics. And let me just say a little bit more from a higher level over the bill. This bill, there's no mandated reductions, no forced leasing, no forced anything along those lines. What the intention of this bill is to actually manage the fleets, to take an inventory of what we have as a state. I think not knowing provides tremendous opportunities for efficiency and economy of scale throughout the state. So if a car can be run longer, and I do understand, at least through reading the fiscal note, MNSCU, I think, probably is a good example of taking some cars that may be older and then putting them into their programs where students are then able to repair on them and prolong the life and use them maybe perhaps for maintenance vehicles or something like that. So I think all those things are excellent ideas and excellent opportunities on how to get the most bang for our buck across the fleet. I just would like to see that across the entire state on what do we actually own as a state, what's our inventory, how are we using it, is there an excess of vehicles in admin that could go to the DNR? There's none of that communication going on. We simply don't know.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, would you take it as a friendly amendment that we buy American-made cars?
That opens up a whole different discussion, because identify what is American these days.
American-owned, American-owned companies, Mr. Chair. You don't get my
That's
point.
That's even complicated.
I know you'd support me on it,
I should point out one thing to members, that since we've taken MNSCU out of the bill, really there's very little that higher education now has to do with this going forward. But I appreciate at least the questions, and I think we have maybe another one for Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I appreciate that MNSCU, in their presentation, talked about the advantage of local control over the state focus. And I'm, if I heard you correctly, Representative Sanders, at the beginning you talked about that it's more important to have the state be the people in charge of the total fleet rather than local control. Is that, was that fair to characterize how you began the presentation of this bill?
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say it's partially true. I think that it's good that someone know, that an agency like the Department of Administration, that the commissioner know what the state owns. I think that's important. But nowhere in the bill, or I guess I should say in the bill, we allow for the authority for the commissioner to delegate back to the agencies to, in any, you know, however it can be decentralized from that point on. We allow for that latitude in the bill so that if it is more efficient for Minsku to run their fleet, then by all means they should. But I do think it's important that an entity in the state know where our state dollars are going. Are we using them most efficiently when it comes to our state fleet?
Mr.
Representative
Chair,
Bobby.
Thank you. And I realize that this is now no longer a bill that is of concern for this committee, but I just wanted to clarify also, you talked about that this is not a mandate, but I mean, there is a must here, and they must reduce the number of vehicles. Am I reading that incorrectly? Or you are saying that I would agree that there's some benefit to having a number, you know, to know what the inventory is, but you actually are reducing, even without knowing what the need is, what the local control process is, and indicating that you are requesting that they must reduce their inventory. Is that correct?
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, that is correct. We are still talking through that. We have changed it to, you know, perhaps a goal of what that reduction should be. But we are still talking through, and as this goes to Ways and Means, about making sure that the priority is on management of the state fleet and inventory of the state fleet. So as the bill stands, you are correct. There is a must in reduction, but there is not a quantity surrounding that at this time.
Any further questions? If not, the chair renews the motion that House File 1036 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The
thank
passes
you, Mr. Chair,
and
members.
Thank you. All right. House File 1936 is 1916 is, oh, that's right. I was looking for House, but he's not here. So you can go ahead and move his bill, Representative Mazarov.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I move that House File 1916 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee. This is a bill that adjusts the scope of two of the Minsku projects that were approved last year, and that adjustment is to match the obligation bond appropriations that were actually made on these projects. And we have here to testify Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities for Minsku, Brian Yolitz.
Welcome to the committee, and identify yourself for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Brian Yolitz. I'm the Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. We request the language from fiscal year 2011 bonding bill be updated to reflect, as Representative Mazarov noted, the appropriate scope of projects to align with the funding that was made available in the two projects, one at Normandale Community College for the Academic Partnership Center and Student Services Building. It should reflect the design and construction and furnishing and equipping a new building for the Academic Partnership Building, and then design for the Student Services Building. And then on the NEHED project at Mesabi Range Community and Technical College in Virginia, that the requirement for procuring housing off campus be removed from the language. And that reflects the funds that were made available. The design for and construction of the engineering addition is a preceding design. The A&E has been selected, and they're moving forward to award the construction of that here this spring.
All right, thank you. Members, questions? Hearing none, would you like to renew the motion?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion to that House File 1916 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The bill moves on. Representative Banyan. House File 1960. It was a good year. Welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move House File 1960 to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. You should have an amendment to also delete all amendment. But just as a no, it's not here. Is it now fixed upright? Or we decide not to? Ms. Novak, I'm sorry. Did I take you by surprise? I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, it's not a delete all. It's just
an amendment. I'm sorry. And I don't have the sheet in front of me. I left it back at the desk. So there's an amendment that should be moved to the CA1, I believe, amendment to House File 1960. I would ask that we pass the amendment to bring the language in line with what we think we need.
Everyone have a copy of that? Mm-hmm. It's quite...
That's the wrong one. Yeah, thanks.
Ms. Novak, do you just want to quickly mention what it does?
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, the A1 amendment is a technical amendment that takes out a reference to exempting this appropriation from debt service if it's used for HEPR. The way the appropriation was made, it was made in the deed section of the bonding bill, and that section of the bonding bill is not subject to debt service. So whatever this is used for, it's not subject to debt service. And it clarifies it.
Any questions on the amendment? Or we're like, okay. Then all those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Ms. Novak has gone ahead and given you a fair explanation of this. And this is a bit of a technical amendment, sufficient technical bill such that I'm not a person who's probably best qualified to address exactly all that's here. Sitting next to me, and it's a pleasure to do this because I've known the gentleman to my right for 25 years. I think he was first the facilities director at St. Cloud State when I was a young pup assistant professor there. Now is our vice president for administrative affairs, and he's retiring this spring. So it's both a pleasure to have him here, and also got to say goodbye to you at some point soon, Steve. But Steve Ludwig's with us, and I think he can explain the details of the bill.
Welcome, Mr. Ludwig. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Chair Norris, members of the committee, my name is Steve Ludwig. I'm the administrative vice president at St. Cloud State University. Thank you, Representative Banyan. It's been good to have worked with you these past years. With regard to this this bill, when the bonds were authorized, we proceeded with planning for additions and improvements to the hockey center on our campus. As we proceeded with the planning, the IRS came out with new guidelines that they presented to MMB regarding the use of tax-exempt bonding proceeds for projects similar to this. MMB became increasingly concerned about this guidance, that it was a change from the time when the bonds were first authorized, and raising these concerns recommended that we not proceed further with these tax-exempt bonds on the project. And we agreed, and so what we're requesting in this bill is to retain the balance of these funds for use in HEPA projects on campus that will allow us to free up some other operating funds to support the project, to move forward with it. And just wanted to note that this change is neutral in terms of bond capacity or the payments required on the debt service.
Thank you. Representative Poppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of comments have been made that this is, I think Representative Banyan talked about the technical, this is a technical bill. I'm not sure that it's a technical bill. Maybe the amendment was, but this is somewhat of a change. I mean, this is saying that you've got an amount of money that now you get to use differently than it was first initially designated. Is that not correct?
Who wants to answer
either.
That?
Go ahead.
Chair, Mr. Representative Poppe, you are, it is a change in how we would use the funds. That is true, and I would defer to your collective judgment on what constitutes technical or not, but that is true.
Yeah, this is, Mr. Chairman, Representative Poppe, this is a response to, you know, money was trying to be used in a certain direction, and because of federal law changes, we need to make some change in how we go about doing a project that we've already approved.
Representative Poppe.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. But if I understand correctly, this will, a portion of these funds that were designated for the Hockey Center will now be used for HEPA, which colleges and universities throughout the state of Minnesota are in great need of HEPA dollars, and so you are asking through this bill to be able to allocate, because you received an amount and because the federal government did something, to be able to use those funds for HEPA dollars. That is the gist of this bill. Is that not correct?
Representative Banyan?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hoppe, I believe that to be correct.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm just...
Representative Poppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just... It's an interesting approach to be able to take the money and to use it for HEPA, and I'm just wondering if this opens the door for other colleges and universities to somehow do something that will allow them to bring forth bills that maybe fudge a little bit on the amount, and I'm not saying that this is the case with what you're doing, but I'm wondering about the precedent that this kind of approach might take, that we will have bills being able to be used for other purposes when they've been designated as such. So,
Representative Morrill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I think I'm probably following along the same lines, and I would look to you or maybe Representative Rukavina or Minsky for direction. My question is this: what typically happens when this committee has and the legislature has allocated appropriated funding for a project, and that project has, let's say, come under cost? There's money left over. I'd like to know, what is the standard practice within Minsky?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative
Banyan. I think Mr. Ludwig could answer that for you.
Or
Ms. King.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Riccovino.
You know, I think if I could take a stab at it, it's certainly, you know, Representative Poppe is not incorrect in her line of questioning, but I think we recently in Capital Bonding Committee had been told by OMB that there are questions because of federal law on what's legal in our Constitution, too. And so I can't remember this exact project, but... I guess the question would be, is the Hockey Center owned by the university, or is it owned by something else that the tax-exempt status disappeared, or that OMB or the feds are questioning that tax-exempt status? Because I always thought this was an arena for St. Cloud State.
Mr. Ludwig.
So maybe you or Ms. King can clarify that, because
Mr.
I don't
Ludwig.
Understand either what's going on.
Chair Nornes and Representative Rukavina, the arena is a state facility owned by the state of Minnesota through Minsky and operated by the university.
And if that's the case, Ms. King, maybe you can explain to us why the tax exempt status is a question here.
Ms. King?
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, my name is Laura King, and I'm the Vice Chancellor for Finance for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, I think the state's going to be facing this issue more and more as it brings into relief the efforts we're making to raise private money to help us build buildings, which come into conflict under certain structures with the tax-exempt status of the bonds that the state sells. And that's probably what you heard about in the Capital Investment Committee. The IRS has substantially increased its scrutiny of these kinds of transactions in the public sector. And as public entities have looked for ways to bring private money into deals, it's raised the IRS concern. The concern is present here because the university, along with the state support for the center, is also intending to raise millions of dollars to help build the building. And as we saw most recently with the financing structure for the TCF stadium at the university, it's very complicated to do in a way that's in compliance with the IRS. So what we have in this bill, we think, is a neutral exchange of money in order to preserve our interest in getting the center built, to use the state bond proceeds for capital improvements, both at the university and elsewhere in the system, to preserve the finance plan for the hockey center, and to preserve the finance plan for the university itself. We have in the bonding bills traditionally language that allows balances in capital projects not needed for the project to be redirected to HEPA projects at that campus or elsewhere in the system. I would not draw any conclusion from this that it's setting up a precedent that the schools are, or we are going to bring you inflated capital improvement projects so that we can divert HEPA dollars off of them. We spend the money that you give us for capital improvements on the capital improvements, and you'll see from our reports over the years that we have incidental balances that result at the end of a project that then go into very needed asset preservation activities. But in this instance, it's a very complicated deal that was provoked by the IRS that allows us to keep the project going. It allows us to preserve the university's operating financial profile, and it allows the state's investment in our capital assets to be honored.
Representative Rukavina.
So, Mr. Chair, if I follow it then, was it because you were so successful in raising private funds, or because the plan was to raise a certain amount that it got you, you know, in this new quirk at the federal level? And then so the $1.7 million, it looks like that's could be spread out in HEPA projects all over the state. Could I have $25,000 for the get the windmill operating at the Mesabi College in Eblet? Representative Banyan, would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, I think the time for that's over when we get to the Capital Investment Committee.
Okay, well, good. Now that I know some money.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Ms. King, here's what I'm trying to figure out. At the end of the day, I wanted to go to some project. That's fine. But I know, for example, with MnDOT, if a project comes under budget, members, it's not like the community gets to build another road. The money goes back to MnDOT, and MnDOT then goes to the next project on what's called the STIP. So I'm trying to understand here, Ms. King, you said, I think, two different things. You said either money from a project that's left over goes to HEPA projects either on the campus or it goes back to the system. What's the trigger? How do we know when it goes back to the system and when it stays on campus for other projects?
Ms. King?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Representative Morrow, and we have Brian with us, of course, if we want to get too far into this. My knowledge stops pretty soon. But the general language provides that capital project balances that are deemed not needed at the end of the project, when the project closes out, are available at the campus for asset preservation projects, or after discussion between the campus and Brian, they can be moved to another campus. That's a judgment that's made based on emergencies. We've had an occasion, for instance, several years ago where the roof blew off on the Minnesota West campus, and we looked to the balances in the asset preservation account at several schools to provide funding. It's language in the bonding bill, and we take it to be good policy because it means that proceeds are used for asset preservation, and they're not used to start a new project.
Representative Morrill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really just want to get a straight answer so the whole committee knows in the future what happens. So, Representative Banning, I guess my question is for you at this point. If Minsky, maybe it's because it's bond proceeds, if Minsky has the ability to make a decision that money left over on a project either stays on campus and fix a roof or a boiler or goes back, Brian decides it goes somewhere else, why do we need legislation? If Minsky can already make this decision.
They can't.
Representative
Banyan? Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, this project is not yet done, so we're not yet at a point where funds could be moved.
But
Representative Morrow.
Mr. Chair, I might want to make sure I understand. Is it because the project isn't done that Minsky could make this decision? Is it because it's bond proceeds that Minsky can't make this decision on its own? Maybe it's a Ms. King question. Why can't at the end of the day you simply make the decision you're going to fix roofs and boilers at St. Cloud State?
Ms. King?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow, perhaps it was just in an excess of caution that we wanted to make sure the committee understood that the bond proceeds that were approved for the hockey center, if this amendment is passed, would be used for something else. We can't declare the project done and surplus the funds because the project's not done. So I don't think it would have been good faith for us to simply wait until the project got built some other way and then redirect the balances.
Representative Morrow.
And I respect your indulgence, Mr. Chair. I'm really just trying to get to the bottom. So
we have time.
My understanding is in other projects, El Minsky, Brian has made the decision either the money will stay on campus or it'll go elsewhere, but you all haven't reported or we haven't done a bill to redirect the money each time. So I'm wondering if we're going to have to now do this each time, we're going to have a bill to do something that Minsky apparently is already doing. And if they're already doing it, maybe we should get a report to show the good faith that you're talking about.
Mr.
King, you want to answer?
Chair, Representative Morrow, you do get a report, at least the Capital Investment Committee gets a report, when the bonding bill is adopted, the bill does not have in the session law each of the several hundred asset preservation projects that are done. We provide you with a list at various dollar amounts, but it's long been acknowledged by the legislature that it's important for us to have flexibility to move money between projects because we have emergencies that come up. So we report to you on a several times a year basis how the asset preservation funds were used, where there were balances, where there were realignments between balances, and we'd be happy to provide you any additional information that you'd be interested in.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rokubina.
Maybe Ms. Novak can correct me if I'm wrong, but the previous bill, or the one that Representative Masrell just carried for Representative House, had to be introduced as a bill because there was the most minuscule change. And I remember getting an appropriation for a building for a state trail system where we said it was located on Highway 135, and when it was located on Highway 137, we had to come back and we couldn't expend any money because it specifically said that, you know, it's specific. And I think that's what's going on here, and that's what happened in the previous bill, at least for my case, was that there was included in that appropriation for the engineering building a small appropriation, and including there was language that they could also build a housing project. Well, the students didn't want to live on campus, and they didn't want it, but it was in the law, and that's why we had to eliminate it. And that's what's going on here, but there's this, and I don't think, Representative Morrow, that Minsky could have spent this money like they did unless they had a bill. They can't do it.
You're asking
even the smallest change, I don't think they can do it without bringing the bill back. But there's this whole other quirk of of what's happening federally that kind of enters into this and puzzles me, and I'm too dumb to know what's going on.
Do you want to be clear?
I think
you
I'm
want
close. Yeah.
Clarification?
Help me out. Actually, help me out.
Mr. Chair, and members, this is getting a little more complicated. There are several things going on. Bond funds require a specific purpose, and it has to be written in the law. And so whenever you change the purpose, it has to be amended by law. And that's what the previous bill did, was amend the law to change the purpose. A second issue with this particular bill is that it is changing the purpose. It's expanding the purpose, so it needs to be authorized in law. And it's also, one thing we haven't talked about, is it's expanding the timeline for the bond funds to be used. So it definitely has to be done in law. The third thing is that in every bonding bill for appropriations that are made in the Minsky section of the bonding bill, there is general authority that's given in the bonding bill in law for Minsky to use any leftover funds for HEPR purposes. Once again, this bill, this section of law was in the deed section, so it is not covered by that HEPR excess fund, and they need specific authority to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Rucavina.
Mr. Chair, then to that point, I think all the members of your committee should get a little split to that. We should figure it out amongst us and go in a room, arm wrestle or whatever, and then we'll...
Not sure I want to arm wrestle with you.
I don't know if there's any other questions. Is there another testifier as well that you're aware of?
I think so. No, Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion to pass the bill as amended and have it re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment.
Okay, Representative Bannion moves that House File 1960 be recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Capital Investment Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Done. And this be...
A number of complicated issues.
We have one more bit of business to deal with. We've talked... we've had presentations on bonding from Minsky and from the university, and I have a recommendation that I'd like to have you consider today, and try to explain it. What I would like to do is move that the Higher Education Committee forward to the 2012 Capital Investment Committee the requests from the University of Minnesota and from Minsky with the following recommendation: that the Higher Education Committee, our committee, recommend funding for these requests at the highest amount possible and in the order of priority established by the Board of Regents and the Board of Trustees. With regard to the Higher Education Asset Preservation and Replacement Funding, the committee recommends a significant investment. Governor's recommendation of $20 million per system is insufficient to meet the critical maintenance needs of the system. That's the recommendation. It's somewhat vague and generalized, but the message is that Capital Investment Committee has to do better, particularly in HEPR, than they've presented to us. We have not picked a number, because even Capital Investment doesn't know what their total number is going to be. So I just would like some discussion. And Representative Poppy, you can start.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're sending a memo, or what exactly are we doing?
We send an official recommendation in the form of
a
letter.
I don't have any paper, I guess.
Yeah, this is not this is not a bill, this is not any other than we would send a recommendation to them through communications, the form of a letter. I think that's how we'd do it. That's how we would do it. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I knew this was coming, so I don't want to pretend otherwise.
Right.
Although I wasn't sure about, I think, the word significantly or substantially in the letter. So is your intent to have us vote on this letter? And if so, is your intent to have us vote on this letter today?
I would like the approval of the committee to send it forward, yes. They're expecting us to do something soon.
Today?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but the sooner the better.
And the only reason I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, is that we heard fix it first discussion, and I'm not sure whether this letter says fix it first or not. I know I'd like to be able to talk to the student groups now and say, okay, this is the thing we're being asked to vote on. What do you think? We met with the IFO, was here today. They had a HEPR first position. So I don't know how they would feel about the sentences substantially or significantly. Would they say, no, Terry, you ought to try to amend it to say all? So that's the only reason. It would be nice to have something that we can at least show interest groups and other folks who are affected before we vote on it. And since it wasn't published, no one could have commented to us. So if we could vote on it next meeting, we could show student groups, faculty groups about it.
Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chair, do you have any idea when the finance people will get a target and how much time we have to?
I haven't been told that.
So you don't know when Representative Halls is going to be told he has a $300 million or a $600 million bond?
The last conversation, which was just a couple days ago, indicated he knows nothing.
Yeah. Good. We're all in the same boat. After 26 years, I'm there already. So, but then, if we emphasize HEPR, are we also supporting the governor's list as far down as he got on the Minsky and university projects? Or are we saying start going up the list or whatever, however you want to look at it, and put more money in the HEPR?
We're not saying that in this recommendation. There are two separate things. One is to recommend funding for the priority list as far as they can go with that, and under the HEPR, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of dropping it back into the committee of capital investment, which I think that was kind of the agreement. We didn't want to get, at least that was my understanding, we didn't want to get specific on projects or changing priorities or even setting a number, because they'll change it anyway. So it's up to you. And frankly, we don't have to make this decision today if you don't want to.
Can we have a...
If you want till Tuesday or whatever you want to do, I'm okay with that.
And can we see the memo then, an email from Mike or somebody?
If we could get the text.
We can do that, sure.
It may not be, I
didn't read it word for word.
I don't like to do that. Maybe if you want, as a suggestion, we could recommend like a $750 million bonding bill and then say put this much in HEPR and this much in...
I don't think this committee wants to do that, but...
Well, but you've got a... Mr. Chair, you got seniority and you're the chair and you can do whatever you want. We're all behind you, right, members?
Nah. Make it a round number, a billion, okay.
Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your flexibility on that. The one question I would have then is, will this text that we will vote on Tuesday, will that be available to the public before Tuesday as well? I don't know how we can publish something, but it would be good that...
I don't know if they'd... Would they be that interested?
Well, the IFO was right across.
Well, they would, obviously. The groups would, students would, but the general public, I'm not sure they're necessarily tuned into this. The entire bonding, perhaps, the whole picture, perhaps, but I'm not sure the HEPR, they wouldn't understand what that means.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy with a memo to all of us on what you want that to look like and give us some thought.
If you want to make some suggestions, we can...
Next week. And if we want to give it to our folks...
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to respectfully disagree with Representative Rukavina. I don't think it's about the...
You have in the past. Go ahead.
Well, irrespectfully, but now it's going to be respectfully. I'm just thinking about the student groups and the colleges around the state. I am not going to take the responsibility to make sure that they have had a chance to look at this text before Tuesday. So when I say the public, I guess even if this is the higher education public, I don't know that the folks in Ridgewater are going to get the chance to see this unless we've put it someplace where they can actually access it.
Yeah, the students have been here, so we've heard from them. But I think, in my judgment, what we were attempting to do here is, as strongly as we could, without being specific, indicate to that next committee, capital investment, that we want as much as we can for our two systems, whether it's HEPR or the other. It maybe isn't worded strong enough, and we don't have any real control at the end either, unless you serve on that committee, and some of us do. So, does someone have a question over here or a comment? Norton?
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Norton?
Oh.
Doubt of?
Go ahead.
Go first. Representative?
I was just going to provide a little levity to the situation.
We could use some.
I quickly surveyed the members on this side, Mr. Chairman, and we'd like to decide this using Representative Rukavina's idea of arm wrestling.
I'd be a referee. Representative.
Thank you. And
I'm not going up against that further.
And Mr. Chair, I just think it's worth noting, if you look at the university's requests, not just HEPR, but projects that have come, or the purview of this committee, and MNSCU's, it actually totals, at least what I'm hearing in the halls, is the rumor for the entire bonding bill. And so I am quite supportive of a very strong statement from this committee, but if the bonding bill is going to be $500 million, we've taken care of the whole bonding bill in this committee. And so I guess I would, yeah. Well, I suspect there might be a few other projects out there worth considering. So I don't know how you're going to handle that, and I'm not sure how this letter, I'll have to look at the words to find out how comfortable I am with that, because as you may or may not know, you know.
I'm not.
Communities in my neighborhood also have projects out there, right. And I'm going to have to weigh those with whatever your language is. Yeah. So I appreciate you publishing that letter.
I'm not sure how often the Capital Investment Committee has funded all the requests for either HEPR, or either the university or MNSCU. So I don't think that would be the case where, if that, you know, that'd be a real surprise if that happened. But I think that it, somehow we need to get that message across that, you know, if it's half of the bonding bill, I don't know what it would be. That would be good for the systems, if we can get there. But somebody else have a hand up? Probably not. So is the feeling of the committee then we'll just wait till, say, Tuesday, and people can think about it and communicate however you want to, and the memo, make changes here too. Yes, Representative Puppy.
And Mr. Chair, will we take any testimony on the memo, or is it just?
I don't want to.
It seems like it's something I've not heard of, but I'm not a long-term person here.
I think we've had enough testimony, in my opinion, from the systems. We'd probably hear the same. Right. I don't know if that would give us anything new.
I don't know. I'm just. I guess I'm trying to figure out, kind of.
I'm
how
not even
how it works,
quite sure what
maybe,
our agenda is for next week and how much time we have to deal with that.
Well, so Mr. Chair, I have a bill up on Tuesday, and that's why I'm trying to be very nice.
Okay. All right. Well, that's nice to know.
I'm with you, buddy.
I think I've just been told it's tentative.
Well, let's talk about Representative Morrow's proposal.
Representative Demke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a comment with a little bit more levity, but I have to tell you, I would also think it would be a great idea, and I loved what Representative Norton said, is that if the bonding bill is $500 million or whatever this year, and these projects as we get them is adding up to a couple of billion dollars, but why not we as a committee, I'm just throwing this out and to think about it, it's say, well, let's do all the bonding for our state colleges this year. I mean, I know that's a heresy, but or possibly, but gee, that it's a good way to support the colleges and what you're saying, HEPR, I think the HEPR alone comes to like $1 billion for all of them when you add up the...
That's
you know.
If you do everything. It's about $200 million, I think, roughly, that they're asking for.
Yeah, for all the colleges on HEPR.
This time around.
But now that we're asking them to prioritize, but that's my, I don't even know that we're going to get to $500 million, but I think that would be something that we could consider. But that's up to Mr. Chair, that's your decision.
Support, Mr. Chair.
I just thought I would let you know that I thought that was a pretty good idea.
Representative Rukavina, I didn't hear that.
I said support, and I seconded.
Oh. We're not going to take a vote. Any other discussion on this, and we'll deal with it on Tuesday, if that's okay. And for now, we are adjourned.